Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Tippy Talk, TNT in the Night, where we talk about overcoming difficult situations or just handling it better. We go through our daily adventures where we ask the question, what have you done today? What stands out today? And what is the most important thing that happened today? How have you overcome today? And what was your challenge of the day? We march into the other side of midnight, walking in the retrospect, tracking our behavior, not to judge ourselves or feel bad about it, but to find ways to improve our tomorrow. Presented to you by the E Factor, we talk to people who were faced with major challenges and find their struggles and triumphs and lessons that they were blessed with due to the way they rose to the call of the other side, the way they faced situations that they never thought they would have to face. Because what you will find when the unexpected hits you in the face is that there are resources deep within you to begin to bubble to the surface and make themselves available to you and invite you to help yourself in situations that you never saw before.
Hello and welcome to the Tippy Center. My name is Tippy Feldenstein and I am very happy to welcome Vila Power today, who is joining us to discuss some very, very important issues, not just about today, but also things that she has gone through before and things that I think so many people are going through, but not too many people are discussing all the time. But actually, Vila was the second person that brought this up to me today, so I thought this probably is the universe or God telling me this is it. So Vila Powell, welcome to the E Factor.
Thank you so very much, Tippy. I am blessed to be here tonight. Thank you.
Oh, that is awesome. I love when people say that. So other than today and every day, we have discussed something that you went through that a lot of people go through, but the problem is also not just that, and I will let you discuss that, that you don't understand why. What is it that's actually doing it and why and how to stop it? It's one of the major challenges that you had. Do you want to tell us first before we even go into that a little bit about yourself?
Well, I am Vila Powell, as you said. I am a native of California and talking to you tonight on Pacific Standard Time. I am an author and a public speaker, as well as a wife
and
mother.
And I have to say a good one, because I've heard you speak. You speak really, really well.
Thank you, Tippy. And that's about it.
Great. And, yeah, you know, a lot of people speak, but not a lot of people have that ability to speak and for people to listen to them, because speaking is one thing, but having people listen to what they say because they say they present it in a great way, that's a different, and you do have that skill, and I just wanted to tell you. So you have this one challenge that you've been facing for a long time. When did it start, and what is it?
Well, the simple answer is being a compulsive spender or addicted to spending. When it started, yeah, you know, when it started, it's hard to say it. I know that there are, it also involved being a thief, because it's the other side of that, that
of
when
being,
I felt unempowered around money, I would then take, and I would feel powerful. If I couldn't afford it, I would take, or then when I had the money, the power to just spend it. I mean, I would, when I worked, I would get paid on Friday, and by Sunday night, I had no money and almost nothing to show for it. I had just I would go to Kohl's, which is, I don't know if it's a store on the East Coast, but it's a store here on the West Coast, and just buy a bunch of junk. Just, I mean, literally spend, go out and eat, and then that Monday not have money for my bus pass, for my rent, for my utilities, for anything, because that was that spending. I was powerful. I could buy whatever I wanted in the store. I could pay whatever I wanted at the restaurant, and I felt powerful at that time. But, of course, I was creating my for myself a world of hurt because then not paying my bills, so now I'm ducking and dodging my landlord, you know, ducking and dodging collectors, not being able to take care of me and my daughter because I had blown the money in 2 days. To blow your whole paycheck in 2 days and not have anything to show for it.
Yeah, like any addiction, when you get into it, it's very destructive on all levels. And so basically when people usually are addicted to spending, they spend more than they make. So you probably would have a maxed out credit card, right?
Oh, yes. And I'd already ruined my credit, so I didn't have credit card because I'd already ruined my credit by spending.
Oh.
But what I did was I had an account that would let me overdraw. So sometimes when my paycheck would come, my account would already be overdrawn $800-$900. And the paycheck would go in and bring me back to even, and then I would just go spending again knowing that it would let me overdraw.
That's a very interesting addiction that I've never really explored before. Were you brought up really in poverty type of environment?
You know, I think that I did, but I don't think it was obvious. I mean, we had a car. I always had things, but I think the challenge for me was is that I lived in a place where everyone else was poor like me, but my mother wanted me to have a better education. So she scrimped and saved and worked hard to send me to a private school. So when I got there, it was very obvious that my lifestyle and their lifestyle was very different. So when they wanted to go and do things and stuff, oftentimes I could not. So what I would do is I would go out with them and say, oh, my God, I forgot my money in my other purse. And then but the fact is I didn't have the money.
Yeah, you know.
You know, so it began there.
Yeah, feeling inadequate. That's one of the things I did to my kids. I sent them in a school district where everybody was obviously way, way, way financially better off than us. And I remember one of the little girls, the 7-year-old, walked into my house with my daughter for the first time. She came to our house, and she casually walked into the living room, and she goes, my bathroom is bigger than this.
Oh, my God.
And I didn't realize it at the time, but my kids, one of them hates rich people, and the other one thinks she's Paris Hilton. So they both
really went to the extreme, yes.
Yeah. It really makes you crazy because you think there's something wrong with you because everybody's different. You're different than everybody else. And I try to give my kids a better situation, but it doesn't always work out that way. You really have to be careful how children process that kind of information. So
it's
could
very
be
true.
That. Yeah.
It's very true. I think the challenge. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. The challenge?
I think the challenge for being a compulsive spender is that most people just think, well, you're just out of control. You need to save more. But it's like, no, it's not like that. It's not about being out of control. It's about feeling in control. But that's what the spending does. It makes you feel in control. Because with everything else in your life, you don't have control over it. I can take this money. And I can spend it however I want because I'm in control. You know, then the other thing is that no one's saying, when you go into the store and just spend $700 on a bunch of stupid stuff, no one goes, are you spending addictively? No, they don't care. They just want, you know, just like I've also had the challenge of eating, overeating in an addictive way. You know, no one ever said to me, I never got pulled over and the cops searched my car and they find, you know, 2 gallons of ice cream, some donuts, pastries and stuff to say, oh, you're getting ready to go on a binge. Now, if they found weed or heroin in my car, then they'd say, oh, hey, you're an addict. We're going to take care of you. Maybe not weed, but some real drug like, you know, heroin or cocaine. But when they found my drug in the car, which was food, or I'm at Kohl's or at Macy's or at Nordstrom's spending an enormous amount of money, no one is saying, are you acting out your addiction? Because it doesn't present as an addiction. It's not, I'm not strung out, but it's the same thing. I'm medicating.
Yes. I love Kohl's, by the way. It's one of my favorite places to go waste my money.
Yes, it's a great place to spend. And they have great sales.
Yes, but when you talk about addictions, it really, an addiction could be a lot of different things. It could be money, it could be food, it could be sex, it could be so many different things. And really the bottom line for addictions is a little bit deeper than that. And it just happens to be that I took a class this morning that talked about addictions in a different way that I've never really thought of before. And this class was about self-love. And what she said was that self-love is not something that we're taught, especially not as women. It's about being, if you want to love yourself, then you're being considered selfish or
right.
How dare you worry about yourself. But what she's saying is that it's exactly the opposite. If you don't have self-love, you're selfish, because without loving yourself first, you're really not, it's not easy to love a lot of other people around you, because first of all, you're teaching them how to love you by how you love yourself. And but one of the important things that she said about, it's called self-abandonment when you don't love yourself. And loving yourself comes on different levels. It comes on the level of the physical, but it's also an emotional. So the physical part would be, you know, taking care of your body, but emotionally also it's taking care of your emotional needs. But one of the signs of self-abandonment and not having self-love happens to be addiction. Because what happens is, instead of facing our feelings and loving ourselves, we turn to addiction. And
but you're running from them. You're medicating that emptiness and that lack of self-love,
right.
that drug is numbing that hurt.
Right, and you can even get addicted to getting love rather than to learn how to be loving to yourself, which is also very destructive. It's like giving a child away. Like when you have a child and you run around saying, do you want to take my child? Do you want to take my child? Do you want to take my child? You're kind of waiting for outside influences like food, like spending, like sex. It could be even meditating. People can take meditating to the point of an addiction where every time they don't want to feel the pain, they run and they meditate. And it's the same thing. And so it's a lot more delicate. And so what I learned from that and the important lesson about it was, how am I not loving myself? You know, this body, we are not our body. And loving your body the same way you would love your partner. If you love your partner, why would you abuse your own body? And so it's about self-abandonment. All the addictions, even when it comes, especially food and money, it's all about self-abandonment. And it's all about learning how to love yourself. And that turned such a big switch on me. Does that make sense to you when you relate that to your addiction?
Well, it really does. And sometimes you need someone. I'll tell you what. I mean, my money, my spending just got under control recently as I got married. And we had our wedding date set, and my husband took a look at my finances. He goes, we can't get married on this date. Your finances are a mess. So I was like, oh, no, he doesn't want to marry me. I was freaking out. He goes, we'll get, he says, just, we were going to get married in July. He says, just pick a date in September and we'll get married then. So I was cool with that. But then when I would get paid, he would have the nerve to want me to pay my bills first. Cause I'm
wow,
like,
that
hey,
is
Jay, yeah, let's go out, let's do this. He goes, no, we got to take care of the house first. We got to pay. I mean, I would be so irritated, mad. And he would just be like, the matter, you know. And I was just, I would do it because I understood that it made sense. But, oh, I'd be so mad because, again, I wasn't in control of my money. But the fact was I was never in control of it when I was just spending it, just throwing it away. That, you know, one of the things that has really helped me dealing with my addiction, that self-love, when you learn to love yourself and let yourself be loving, it is the best feeling. And for me, it has opened me up to allowing love in my life in ways that if you had told me 4, 5, 6 months ago, Billy, you're going to have love in your life this way, I'd be like, no, But when you love yourself, because love is abundant.
Exactly.
And it just goes, anyway, so that, yeah, when I realized my husband was expressing love, and I would be, you know, I thought, why am I getting mad? Because the control was an illusion. Now, when I was spending, I wasn't in control.
Right.
I mean, all
was
of a sudden,
exactly,
I wasn't
right.
lying
was exactly.
to my landlord. I wasn't running away from collectors because I was paying my bills. So that illusion that I was in control, I wasn't in control. I was out of control.
Right, because loving yourself is taking responsibility for yourself. Then
yes.
you don't blame anybody
Correct.
Else. And, right, exactly.
Right. If I love myself, I want to make sure I have a place to live. If I love myself, I want to make sure that I have utilities on in that place. You know, that it's a strange concept, but it helped me yeah. for someone to stand on the outside, because I wouldn't talk about it. You know, people say, oh, I'm broke. You know, I was a single mother, and I would play on that, and they would feel all sympathy for me and think that's why, you know, I was paying. It wasn't because I was a single mother, because I was blowing my money in a weekend. But that's how they wanted to act, and, yeah, I could play on that sympathy. People would buy me lunch and do all that sort of stuff. But the truth was, I was out of control and I wasn't loving myself. And the beauty of self-love all around, sensually, sexually, physically, emotionally, there is a healing and a hope in that.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. it helps you step forward.
The intentions that we mostly have is only two intentions. One is to protect ourselves against pain. And so you can use that, I'm going to go shopping so I don't feel the pain. And then the other intention is learning to love yourself or the other person. So it's either learning to love yourself, which is what you're doing now, or protecting yourself against pain and going out and spending money instead of facing that pain, which can take you through the gates of love.
It's very true, and I wanted to live a pain-free life, and I think you and I spoke earlier that that's not the human way. Pain is
right.
a part of life. You know, one of my mm-hmm. favorite artists, India Re, has a song recently that came out to, you know, you have to break the shell. Talks about that, mm-hmm. and when the shell is broken from the inside, that's how life gets out. That's how the bird gets out, by breaking out. But if you don't break mm-hmm. that shell, you can't live inside. The bird will die if it stays in there. It only incubates, and then it's time to get out.
Exactly.
And that you can't fly if you don't break that shell, and you can't walk, and you can't be all that you're meant to be. If you stay inside that shell, you've got to break it. And that involves struggle and challenge and pain. But I was so self-delusional that I didn't want to have that. So I would mm-hmm. avoid pain at all costs. I mean, or
which is
I would
what which is what addiction
hurt.
Is. That's what addiction exactly
yes.
is.
It's about
addiction.
Avoiding the pain, and it's like
right.
that.
And the other side, of addiction is the willingness to feel your feelings and to take responsibility for it with compassion, not to be angry or hurt yourself, fight, but just be compassionate with yourself, because the feelings is what we cause by the self abandonment. That's the one that gives us shame and anxiety. It's not
yes,
it's not good
so.
Feeling when we abandon ourselves.
That's true, and I think you had brought up a point that when you look outside of yourself, that I think you and I were talking about earlier, you look outside of yourself, that's the challenge. But
mm-hmm.
who I am and who why wouldn't I love myself first? I've been with myself more than anyone else. You know, but it's a strange
right.
concept, especially for women. You know, we're supposed to give, we're supposed to give and give and give and give and give. You know, well, how can I give if I'm empty? I got to fill
that's
up
exactly,
by loving myself first.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. But the reason that we start doing that is because we learn to avoid it when we're very little.
Yes.
When we got hurt and somebody said things to us, you make the decision that something is wrong with me. Even though it has nothing to do with you, it's the other person's thing. They hurt your feelings. And you embrace those, and you learn very early on, you make the decision that I am never going to feel that again. But if I do this, like if I spend a lot, if I have money and I can spend it, then I will never be in pain again because
right.
money
right.
falls. Somewhere along the line, somebody made that decision for us. But once we make the stupid decision as children, we don't really grow up to know, well, wait a minute, when I was four, I made that decision. We don't even realize that we did that.
Right, because it was unconscious. I mean, as a child, it was an unconscious thing. No one likes to be hurt. That's the truth. That's why we don't jump off buildings or over cliffs. We understand that, you know, there's that fight or flight, and sometimes to run is the best option. But you can't run from yourself. You know, it's a crazy statement, wherever you go, there you are. So wherever I go, I'm going to take myself.
When you shut out the pain, you're also shutting out the joy, because you're shutting out the feelings. And so you shut out everything.
It's very true, because you have to start cutting down on all your feelings.
Exactly, because it's both sides of the same coin.
Very true. Very true.
Right.
It's
so
very true.
So the process is not as painful, and it's not as hard as people think it is, to move into your heart and to start becoming a loving and a self-loving adult. It's not as painful and it's not as hard. What's hard is to take that first look, because it's something that we don't do before. It's an uncomfortable switch that we make. But once that switch is made, it becomes a habit and it becomes very, very smooth. So, yes.
Sure, and it's one step at a time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not going to go from one day. You know, for me, I had a great resource. I had someone saying, what in the heck are you doing?
Yeah, you're lucky.
You got to pay your bills. Yes. I'm telling you, there are still some days that I struggle with that. I think, okay, you know, again, make that better choice. Why am I wanting to avoid? What is going on here? Mm-hmm. You know, it's about raising your consciousness, that both you and I, because we have shared previously, is that we have made a choice, a conscious choice. When you choose to be conscious, when you wake up, and that's a process, when you wake up, you start to see things. Just like when I'm asleep, I don't know what's going on. I mean, anybody knows me, I can sleep on the floor with the lights on and the radio and stuff. Once I'm gone, I'm gone. But when you wake up, all of a sudden, you're like, why is the radio on? Why are all the lights on? Why are, you know, you have to start asking those questions. And then that you and I have both chosen, you know, to live, and, you know, being organized is a part of being awake. When you're not awake, you can be disorganized and unfocused, but once you wake up, there's that aspect of, I got to be organized. I can't just be doing things willy-nilly and crazy. You know, and then where I come from, you got to focus. Make that time in the morning to get yourself focused, or in the afternoon if you're at night, or do it at night, but you got to spend that time to focus. Because that's what my addiction did. It kept me unfocused.
And that's what it's designed to do. It's exactly what it is, to keep you away from being awake and being aware of what you're doing. So you literally got pulled out of it by somebody that loved you enough to point that out to you. And the most important thing is, they can do whatever they want, but you have to accept it.
I had to make that choice, because I would be finally. I said, "Why am I irritated? Because I need to pay my rent," and it really scared me. I thought I was like fuming, like fighting mad. I thought, "Is this a normal way to feel? Do people feel like this when they pay their rent? Angry and like you're taking something from me?" And I thought, that's stupid. Everybody pays their rent, but why do I think I didn't have to pay my rent?
Well, it's not that you didn't pay your rent. It's that you had other plans for your money.
That's just
like
other things. Yes, I could pay my rent when it was convenient for me to do
right.
so. Right. Yeah, that if and I had to really take a look at that and be like, wow, why am I mad? That's not normal.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, very sure.
That's a process. It's an awakening.
It is. It is. I can laugh today, but I could, even while I was telling that, I remember just furious, just feeling furious at my husband, like, you jerk, what are you doing? I thought, why am I mad about that? Of all the things to be angry about, he wants to pay the rent? I mean, it sounds so ridiculous now, but I remember just fuming and then, like, pouting on the couch and, come on.
Yeah, actually, I have a friend who had a husband who was the exact opposite. He had a problem spending money. And so when he made money, every penny he spent was excruciating. So what ended up happening is he didn't pay rent. And they kept getting evicted from one house to the next.
Oh, God.
It wasn't funny. I mean, I'm laughing because life is just funny, but he just really had a hard time spending money. And that happens sometimes. You know, it depends on how you process things. It depends on what decisions you make. But his decision was, if he spends money, he's going to be in trouble. And when you feel that way and you can't pay rent and you can't spend any money, you're going to suffer too. Either way, you spend too much and things you don't.
Very true.
So you're very blessed, you are, like you said. You're very lucky that your husband wants to pay rent.
That's true. And like you said, so I had to make that change in my mind. I had to change my consciousness.
Mm. And you had to live through the pain.
I sure did. And it's funny. Yeah, like now I could laugh and think, wow. But there was a time. Mm. I remember the pain of on Monday morning. No money. How am I going to get to work? I mean, no grocery money, no rent money, you know. So the pain the pain never goes away. You're just delaying it.
Well, you're actually making it worse because.
Yes.
It's accelerated. Yeah, it goes higher and higher. You're thinking that you're dealing with the pain. It's just like when you get drunk, thinking that you're drowning the pain, but you're not drowning the pain because when you get out of being drunk, it's much worse than it was to begin with.
Very true.
Yeah, because now you have to. So you are on the path back to be above the water rather than below the water. And I think that's probably what made it possible for you to write that book that you writing, isn't it?
It's very true. Very true. That what I wanted to do was to be able to help people get their mind right, because I knew that's why if I could get focused on the day and I'm something positive, then I didn't need to medicate myself.
Right. Exactly.
I can make a better choice and see a bigger picture, think about something new. And so what started as a daily inspirational email turned into my book.
Oh, wow, that's wonderful. That is really cool. And what's the name of your book and where can people get it? Because we're coming to the end of our time and it feels like it's been 2.5 seconds.
I know. So the name of my book is 30-Day Journey Towards Transformation, Villa Powell. So you can buy it at Balboa Press, which is the company that published it, or, of course, on Amazon.com. Or you can go to my website,
okay,
which is the same name as the book, and buy it there.
Can you just spell your name? Because it is kind of unusual. And
it's true. So it's Villa, V as in Valentine, I-L-L-A, and then my last name is Powell, T as in Paul, O-W-E-L-L.
Now, that's not unusual. It's the first name that is unique.
Correct. Exactly.
So it's villapowell.com, right?
Actually, 30-day journey towards transformation.com.
Okay.
I have it all combined. I'm too lazy to have a separate website. It's all combined on one.
Okay, so it's 30-day journey into toward a
transformation.
Towards transformation. So there you go. You can go there and you can get the book. You can go ahead and follow right on top of the show. It says follow button, and that way you can get updates too. You can also get information and you can ask questions if you like. We are down to the last few seconds of our show, and we're probably going to come back, Villa, and continue this discussion because we do have a lot more to say. So thank you so much for joining us tonight. It's been really fun. And we will see you again as soon as we can probably schedule it. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you.
We have come to the end of Tippy Talk tonight on the E Factor Show. My name is Tippy Feldenstein, and you are listening to Black Talk Radio. E Factor stands for the energy factor. It is the factor that we adjust in order to take on the daily challenges and mold our life into the energy of our desires. My book, Planning Power, is available on Amazon. All you have to do is go to Amazon.com and type in Planning Power, and my book should pop up either first or second in line. Or you can go to the website and find out more about it, which is lifemodification.net. That's .net, not .com. You can also read the first chapter and see if you wish to read more. And most important, we invite you, the listener, to participate. You can call into the E-Factor Live on Mondays at 8:30 p.m. Pacific Time, 11:30 Eastern Time, and give us your opinion, your question, your idea, or your challenge of the day. We also invite you to follow us. All you have to do is click on that follow button right there on top, and you'll receive updates and notices every time we broadcast. We will be broadcasting randomly throughout the week, but always here live on Monday. Until we meet again, have a magical journey and let your talent be your potion.
And thank you, Vera. We will talk soon. Have a wonderful evening.